family ain't paying, but I'm an addict. I'm a nervous addict. It said, this is a speaker's statement. The NA members choose to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with 12 steps and 12 traditions, there's a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA's traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic tech, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distance to support new groups. The speakers help fulfill the group's purpose, primary purpose, carrying the message of recovering to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from a disease of addiction. It is not necessarily to dwell in excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We come in Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope. All righty. I guess my instructions for today. I'm very nervous. I hate going first. I feel like I do good by going back behind somebody. I don't like starting off nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm a finisher, right? So I started to run and hide in the bathroom, right? Well, I did, but then someone said, just be obedient, come out here, right? Then I went to a real good friend of mine, you know, because I'm feeling all vulnerable and scared, right? And I thought he was my friend, right? And he kind of took advantage. I should say his name, right, but I ain't going to do that. He tried to take advantage of my vulnerability, right? But I love him in spite of himself. I was looking in the literature to find, I couldn't find the particular page that talks about the ultimate authority. I am familiar with it, that the ultimate authority is the newcomer, the addict still suffers. I'm going to read something, because once I get to Shan, I forget all about the literature, right? And I don't want to do that, because I want y'all to know that it's come from the book and not me. This is the basic text. It said, we have by no means found a cure for our addiction. We offer only a proven plan for daily recovery. In NA, we follow a plan adapted from Alcoholics Anonymous. It's in the basic text. More than 100 people have recovered in AA, most of them just as hopeless addicts to alcohol, addicted to alcohol as we were to drug. We are grateful to AA Fellowship for showing us a new way of life. I'm not going to read all of it, but what it says, basically, if you read it, it said the only thing we did was broaden the first step. Because what happened, they realized that we had a disease called addiction that was deeper than drugs and alcohol. Okay? So anything that I might say is not against the tradition, because it's in the book. This is how we got started. And it's good to know your history. You know, if you don't know your history, you don't know where you came from, you might not know where you're going at. That's what I was taught. And one of the things they say, if you read from the beginning of the book, all it talks about, even before you get to the steps, it talks about steps and helping the newcomer. Every page, before you even get to the steps. So our program is designed to get better and help the addict still suffers. And when all that fails, they say helping a newcomer, right? There's some other stuff in here where Conti say work the step and help the addict. Work the step and help the addict. Every page I say, it says work the step and help the addict. It says that, in fact, we can't even recover unless we give it back. So it's like, I don't have a choice whether I want to give it back. That's part of my program. If I'm working the 12 steps, I got to give it back. If I don't give it back, then I ain't working the 12 steps. And they say that when all else failed with it, because I thought the ultimate weapon was the steps. That's what I thought. But what's the steps without helping somebody? What's the steps without giving it back to somebody? And that's what the lid just said, right? I really didn't want to come up here. I live with depression, right? Not only am I an addict, I live with depression. And And some days I wake up and just don't want to get out of bed. And it ain't because of something happens when you live with depression, like being a diabetic. You ain't got to do nothing to be a diabetic. You just wake up and you just, your whatever is high. And that's how addiction is. I like to break it down because sometimes people get the wrong message about that. It ain't normal depression. This depression where it's that you have to get outside help from. And what I found out that I've been depressed all my life. I used drugs to medicate myself. And once the drugs were gone and I did the step work, I wound up back home, which is St. Elizabeth, right? It's a mental hospital, right? And I couldn't understand how I wound up there because y'all said once you work the steps, you get better, right? But what I found out, the steps restore you to sanity. And sanity is the ability to know what's wrong with you and get the necessary help. That's what sanity is, to find out what's wrong with you and then get the help. You know, it don't mean that, you know, if I find out my leg broke, that I'm supposed to work the steps until it get better. No, I'm supposed to take my ass to the hospital. I mean, that's being logical. The steps do exactly what it's supposed to do, give you enough common sense that if you don't know what to do, that you can ask somebody. You know, and then in the back, it talk about how the steps do not keep you away from pain. They say no spiritual reality can mask up pain. What it's saying that regardless how close I get to God, how many steps I work, that when the pain comes up, what I got is the ability to live through without using. The steps didn't say I was going to become perfect. It said that now you've been self-centered all your life, so you can go from self-centered to God-centered, not all the way, but just a little bit. So if I was self-centered from 24-7, then I might be self-centered 25. I'm talking about the process. And for me, it's real important that I express that because I think a lot of people get the impression that once you work steps that you're not going to fall short. They got a 10th step to say you're going to fall short, so we already know that. So we're going to put the 10th step up there so when you do fall short, you can correct it immediately. And 6 and 7 step is always going on. I get better. I don't get cured. I get better. But what I found out, I remember when I started doing the steps when I had less than a year clean because I was one of the ones that was sicker than most, right? And I ain't have a whole lot of time to be going no dances. I couldn't do all that. If I wasn't high, I couldn't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't no laughing, playing. Nothing consisted of happening with me unless I was high. So once the drugs were gone, just like the Linda said, I didn't know how to use without, I didn't know how to live without using. So I had to get into the steps, right? And what they taught me, right? I remember not wanting to go to work one day, and my sponsor told me to go to work anyway. And I was like, but I don't feel good. He's like, but it ain't about how you feel. Your life cannot be dictated by how you feel. It's about getting better, not feeling better. So I was like, I thought it was about feeling better. He's like, well, that's just a setup to make you continue to go on. But it's really ain't about feeling better. It's about getting better. You've been feeling better all your life. It's time to go on beyond your feelings now. So I went to work and real messed up and trying to figure out why I was here because I needed somebody to take care of me. That's what my self-centered said. I need to be home crying on a pity pot. But what I was doing, because I used to do healthcare, right, and I remember earlier I used to tell God that, just give me a job, I'll shove shit, just give me a job, right? So he gave me a job doing that, right? So I was like, how me going wiping somebody's ass is going to help me? I was like, you don't understand. I'm having problems. I'm having a bad day. And the last thing I want to do is see another adult, you know. So anyway, I went, and about 5 minutes into doing what I do, I started feeling better. And I ain't understand that. And then this commercial came on, was flop, flop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. And then it connected. You know what I'm saying? It connected that what happened was, whenever I'm outside of myself helping somebody else, God has an opportunity to go inside of me and rearrange my current defects. He can't do it when I'm there. So every time I help you, what happens, I help me. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So I went on a mission to help everybody and their mother. I started sponsoring a mother, grandmother, some kids. You know what I'm saying? Kids would call me. I'm like, what part you play? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because I wanted to get better, right? And I found out the same thing that happened when I had a year clean happens today. Like I said, I was real depressed. I wasn't feeling good. I had dishes in the sink. The house was messed up totally. You know what I'm saying? And what I did, I called the newcomer. No, I called the newcomer first, and she helped me think clean the living room up. Then I talked to one of my sponsees, and she helped me wash the dishes and eat. Because what happened was, as long as I was talking to her, I wasn't aware that I was washing these dishes. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't aware that I was taking care of myself. It's something about helping somebody else that does something for me. A lot of time, I don't have the ability or what it takes to take care of me. So I take care of you. In the process, while I'm taking care of you, God taking care of me. And that's the part when they say, just get out the way. Because, you know, we have a tendency to say stuff because it sound good. You know, we don't really know what it means, but somebody else said it, and they got to laugh, so we say it. So we say, somebody come with a problem, we like, let go and let God. And you like, okay, how do you do that? Give me some direction. Don't be saying no slick stuff. Tell me how to do that. I need some instructions on how to do that, because I don't know. And stuff like that. Get outside of yourself. Pray. Go to work in spite of how you feel. Leave it there and you go do what you gotta do and God will take care of. Just like they say, come a time where it won't be God, a drink or a drug, but the God of your understanding. But what they fail to iterate, that you have to be connected to that God. So they don't tell you that part. And the connection is not just about praying. It was about praying, I would have got clean a long time ago. Because I stayed on my knees. I mean, you know, some of us prayers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got children in here, right? So I'm trying to keep it clean, you know. But my point is that it's deeper than prayer. Now, cards and numbers give us some tools on how to get to God. They gave us some directions on how to get close to God. It's something about this program here. They got instructions. You know, when people say, I don't know how it works, that's a lie. We read how it works every day. If you don't know how it works by now, then you might need to check in or something, because the religion tell you how it works. And if you don't know how to read, they got tapes. They got people who sit down like my sponsor did with me. He sat down with page by page by page with me. Because that book was foreign to me. It was like Chinese. I didn't understand none of it. What is surrender? Powerless. I came from Southeast Washington. You don't surrender to nobody. 10 people beating you up, you stay there and fight. That's insanity, I know, today. You know what I'm saying? But back then, they say stay and fight. The ego say, bump that. You can at least walk away and say, I got one of them. But the day I know, if 10 people after me, I need to run as fast as I can. I have been restored to sanity. And I'm talking about little stuff like that. It ain't no big thing. A spiritual awakening is a change in your personality. It ain't no woo, woo, woo stuff. You ain't going to float on no cloud or nothing. If you floating on a cloud, then you ain't no earthly good. How you going to help somebody if you all the way up there? Only thing you're doing is get the ability to see you, because once I can see me, then I can help you see you. I'm going to take you down a dark alley if I ain't never been down there. And it ain't about the talk, it's about doing it. It ain't about just reading it, it's about doing it. It's about getting down, get a piece of paper, write your secrets down, stuff you said you would never tell nobody, and share it with another human being. I'm talking about getting stripped, taking everything off, all the masks that I had and pretend that I was somebody, someone taking all that off. And then I had to reveal that to somebody else. It's bad enough I got to write it, and I'm hiding it everywhere. You know, ain't nobody in the house but me, but I'm scared. Somebody go find, cause this is some good stuff. You know what I'm saying? My whole life is on this book, right? Hid it so much I forgot where I hid it. So self-centered and paranoid. The day I probably did my fifth step, I got on the subway. You know, and I had no bag but a see-through bag. And by the time I got from DC to, the Greenbelt, the whole subway was after me. You know what I'm saying? Cause they knew that I had my life in this book. You know what I'm saying? So by the time I got subway, I jumped in my sponsor arm and said, they after me. He was like, who else? Like, I don't know who they is. You know, that's how self-centered I was. I really believe when they was whispering, they were saying, as soon as she touched that butt, we gonna get her. Like somebody already told her, she on her way. That's how self-centered I was. But what I did it anyway. Even though I had no intentions on telling this man my story, I did it. Because he told me if I didn't do it, I would get high. Once I did it, what he did is help me see the truth. Now, I thought I knew the truth. Because I had been telling the truth all my life. But I thought was the truth. You mean, I ain't coming, not causing, I'm a star sharing. I was sharing in the crack house. I was, because I was tired. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, we got to get our life together. It's like, girl, I'm coming here with that. You know what I'm saying? I was tired. I was tired way before I was able to stop. I don't know about nobody else. I was tired. You know? So I started sharing my story in there. And plus, I figured out you could get free drugs, too, if you people feel sorry for it, you know what I'm saying? So I had, you know, it was like, oh, poor baby, hit this. So, you know, I used my story for a lot of things, right? So what happened was this man sat down and he told me the truth that he was able to see. He helped me see that I was self-centered, inconsiderate, dishonest, and frightened. Now, when I did my fourth step, I didn't even write nothing for the fears. I was like, I ain't scared of nothing. You know, I'm from Willow Road, South. You know, because I thought it was a physical thing. I didn't even know that when I fought, it was out of fear, that everything I did in life was based on fear. Fear started it. Fear started everything I did or didn't do. So that's how much denial I was in. The reason why I'm going to the steps, because the steps is the ultimate weapon to give to the newcomer. That's my interpretation. So what happens, once he helped me see who I was, I had to go to God and ask God to remove everything I was able to see at that time. You know, I made a list, and I really wasn't willing to make no amends, so he made me write three lists, a ready, maybe, and a never. So you know everybody was on the never list, right? But through prayer, I became willing. I started making some amends. I did a 10th step, which is 4 through 9 every day, you know, trying to keep this house that I ain't never clean. You know what I'm saying? Start meditating and praying. Then I went on a mission. I started doing step study meetings in my house every Sunday when I had 2 years. And I still do it today, you know, with 14 years, because it helps me. And that's part of my program. You know what I'm saying? Because every time I teach a newcomer how to read something or understand something, I get a better understanding of it. My mind is constantly being open because I'm reading a list, and what didn't make sense last year is making sense this year. One thing about this religion, you never finish. You never finish. Because your mind is not going to open all at once. It takes years for a closed mind to become open again. And 14 years just ain't enough time. So I'm still in denial about some things, and I'm becoming open in other things, right? But one of the things I know I can do, because the religion also talks about how we don't run people's life. We don't tell people where to live, where to work at, who to sleep with. We don't tell them how to take care of their kids. We don't do that. Because what it does, it mess up an opportunity for you to help that person at a later date. Because if anything go wrong, guess who they going to blame? You. And then if you ain't got your life all together, how can you get somebody instruction on a relationship and yours all messed up? So what I'm really doing is trying to make you do something that I ain't capable of doing. Figure maybe you could teach me later on. You know what I'm saying? But my purpose as a sponsor and as a member of Narcotics Anonymous is a guy, a newcomer, old timer, whoever's willing through the steps. That's it. You know, because what happens is, you know, I always use the example of having a lamp with a 100-watt bulb in it. And there's nothing wrong with the lamp or the bulb. It's just it's not plugged in. And until it plug in, you can't see the light. And the program is the same way. In order for me to connect with God, I got to remove the things that's blocking me off from Him. And that's resentment, shame, guilt, fear. All them things block me off from God. It's like God come in my house. He's like, boo, I want to sit down, but ain't nowhere to sit at. You got all the chairs, the tables full up with shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm sure that's how it was unfold to me. And once I was able to remove some stuff and make some room for him, he was able to come in and change my life. You know, and the change that took place is that I smile a lot and I laugh and I play. I never smiled before. Wasn't nothing funny. So when I'm laughing, I'm playing, it's because I'm happy. I would not want to stay here no 14 years and be looking like I did when I first got here. Something wrong with that picture. Something wrong if I'm gritting and I'm telling you want what I got, you got to do what I do. Who going to want that? I mean, for real, who going to want that? I'm supposed to greet the newcomer with love. If I'm not able to get a love today, give it to somebody. Let somebody else take care of. I ain't supposed to be cussing nobody out. Now I'm telling you what the lizard say, because if you read the steps, it say we become loving, compassionate, understanding. So it's nowhere in there to call nobody a bee. It's nowhere in there to humiliate nobody. It's nowhere in there to cut somebody off because they not doing what I want them to do. That's why you need to be connected, because if you ain't connected, what's going to happen? You're going to start trying to run people's life. I know I had sponsors be calling and say, why you don't tell me what to do? I don't know what to do half the time my damn self. You know what I'm saying? The same God that God knew, he got me. And his message is not going to be the same for me, for you. We do on the same path but different goals, journeys. All our journeys is where it is. We're going to meet in the same place eventually. But I mean, just imagine all us going in one direction. Look at all the people that are going to die as a result of everybody doing the same thing. So God, he's so awesome. He's so big. He made each one of us with something to be able to give. It's like we all pieces of puzzles. My puzzle piece ain't no bigger than yours. I just run my mouth a little more. You know what I'm saying? But that's all good too. You know what I'm saying? I've been sharing since I've been here. I was sharing when I was on meth. You know what I'm saying? Because I was trying to get ready and prepared for this process, right? So anyway, they say I had 5 minutes. I don't know how long this been here, right? But anyway, I told you I'm going to roll that, right? But what happens, I believe that, you know, when I come up here, and a lot of people, because I share a lot, and I done made tapes and all that, and, you know, I still get nervous. It's a part of the humility. I still get nervous because I know on my own I can't do it. I don't talk around no whole bunch of people. I ain't do that when I was getting high. If you knocked on my door, you had to push the package in the door. Let me do it first. Let it hit me. Then you come in. If you come in there and seeing me like that, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, the ultimate weapon, and it's very important. Then to me, this is the selfish part of the program, right? And I'm going to be quiet after that. For me to come in here, right, and somebody guide me through the steps, and then I don't want to help nobody else. Or I come in here, and I don't do no steps. See, it ain't, I don't do no steps for 10, 15, 20 years. You know what I'm saying? And the newcomer suffering. Because I can't give them what the program offered them. So what's going to happen is somebody like me with 5 years is going to be overwhelmed and drained by people you really supposed to be helping. Then you get mad and say, oh, she thinks she all that, she sponsored. Somebody got to do it. Somebody asked me how many people, I don't know how many people I sponsor. People ask me all over the world to sponsor him. But I might have 205 of them show up to do step work. So them the ones I sponsor. If you ain't doing no step work, I ain't sponsor you. Now I ain't going to embarrass you and say that I don't sponsor you, but we know. You know what I'm saying? We know. So thanks for letting me share.
All right, sit still. One more speaker left. All right. Second speaker is Jimmy T from New Jersey.
Man, Jimmy, I'm a recovering addict. I want to thank God for everything. What I'd like to do is I'd like to ask you to take a moment. Just take one moment and invite your higher power, your God, the spirit, the force, the movement, whatever it is that keeps you clean. I want you to invite that power into this meeting. And I'm going to invite my power into this meeting. And when I say thank you for letting me share, if you choose to applaud, understand that you're applauding for your relationship with God. And he will get all of the praise and we will receive the blessings. So if we could do that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Jimmy, I'm a recovering addict. I want to thank the Chesapeake, Potomac. I want to thank y'all for having me down here. Thank you for inviting me. I'm not a believer of that you took a risk. I don't believe you took a risk. I believe that God knows exactly what God is doing when God invites members of Narcotics Anonymous to share in Narcotics Anonymous. And I got a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor who got a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor who got a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor who got a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor. I go to Narcotics Anonymous. Only. Y'all invited me to share my experience, strength, and hope. If I step on your toes, maybe you need to call your sponsor. If you ain't got a sponsor, maybe you need to readdress your commitment to your recovery. I got a home group. It's Read to Recover, 4th and Walnut, Roselle, New Jersey, Tuesday night, basic text meeting. Also, beginners meeting in the back because there's some addicts who have yet come to the understanding that the antidote to the disease of addiction lies in the 12 steps, and it's in our literature. It's like Prego. It's in there. But some people don't understand that. They use the third tradition as a double-edged sword. My heart was pounding like 80,000 beats a minute, and now it's up to like 100,000. Ultimate weapon, right? Page 15, basic text. Okay? It says, the ultimate weapon for recovery is the recovering addict. Listen now, we concentrate on recovery and feelings, not what we have done in the past. Old friends, places, and ideas are often a threat to our recovery. We need to change our playmates, playgrounds, and playthings. Now, understand something. The ultimate weapon for recovery is another recovering addict. Okay? And in our second tradition, it says that Narcotics Anonymous is a God-given program. In the fifth tradition, it says that we ought not ever use speakers, literature, or anything else of any other 12-step fellowship, else we dilute the message of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, I say that because I want you to understand that my recovery is Narcotics Anonymous based. I was born and bred in Narcotics Anonymous. I suffer with the disease of addiction, of which drugs are just the most obvious symptom. I need to, like, shed some light. This is not a drug program. This is a recovery program from the disease of addiction. Understand what it says in Who's an Addict, where it says that most of us believe that long before we ever used, the disease of addiction was apparent. So if before I put a chemical in my body, the disease of addiction was already ruling my life, what makes me think mere abstinence is going to be the antidote to the dilemma? I've I've been prayed over. I've been to church. I've been to the masjid. I've been locked up. I've been beat up. I've been locked down. I've been thrown out of my house. I didn't get clean till I was ready to get clean. And that one addict took a special interest in a confused addict who was so afraid to look in the mirror that that one addict said, I'm going to love you till you learn how to love yourself. I love you, Andre. I love you, Dre. You know, my first sponsor I had for 10.5 years is here. He moved to Nashville, and some things went on in his life, and I moved on in sponsorship. But if the truth be told, most all things that are in my life today are a direct result of a man. Hear me now. Black man from Harlem shot dope. Slept on a foam couch, Matawan, New Jersey. Had no particular girl. No driver's license. Took a special interest in a white boy from Jersey City who smoked crack. I remember what he told me when I asked him to sponsor me. He said it would be an honor and a privilege. My folks never told me it was an honor and a privilege for me to be in their life. But here was a dope fiend with 6 years clean, struggling in an area of his life, who put that struggle on the back burner to take a special interest in the man that stands before you. The ultimate weapon, ultimate. That same man said, Jimmy, you need to get Webster. He said, because your understanding of words is a little twisted. Because we were going over the first step. And I remember going over, I was calling him. I called him every day for 18 months. At 4 o'clock, he would pick up his phone and say, hey, Jimmy. Every day at 4 o'clock, I called that man for 18 months. And we were always talking about step work. He told me I didn't have the luxury to wait. No, listen. There's a lot of alleged suggestions in Narcotics Anonymous. They're alleged. Don't get in a relationship for the first year. It's not in the books. Somebody got in a relationship, came back, shared their pain, said it was a good idea that you don't get in a relationship in your first year. And the disease took hold and ran with it. If you want to know what my opinion is do a fourth and fifth step. Introduce yourself to yourself. Know whether or not you have anything to bring to the table before you endeavor into a relationship. But that would be Jimmy T's opinion. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on whether or not you're in a relationship. We're not marriage counselors. Read the sponsorship pamphlet. We're not money lenders. We're not therapists. We share our experience, strength, and hope. How could I have the audacity to tell anybody I sponsor, any man that I sponsor, don't get in a relationship when I've been with my wife for 25 years? No major decisions in the first year. Everything I did in the first year was a major decision. Call my sponsor, don't call my sponsor. Slap my wife, don't slap my wife. Go to work, don't go to work. Cash my check, don't cash my check. Make a meeting, don't make a meeting. Major decision. But you know, people catch on around here. No major decisions. The ultimate weapon becomes annihilated when we dilute the message of Narcotics Anonymous. It says ultimate, final, ending, and most extreme. Weapon is a device used in fighting a war. Newsflash. We're at war with the disease of addiction. You know, I hear a lot of things. The war is over. That you've been lied to. You've only changed battlegrounds. You've only gone from an active lifestyle where everybody around you is of the negative nature. Now you're in a what should be a positive nature where people around you are lifting you up and reinforcing in you. They're fanning the flame of desire. I'm talking about fanning the flame of desire. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in narcotics, a lot of judgmental stuff that goes on in Narcotics Anonymous. When I got Andre to sponsor me, they said, why you got a black sponsor? I said, my bad, I didn't see that in the sponsorship pamphlet. Why you got a sponsor that ain't married? I didn't ask him to sponsor my marriage. Your sponsor ain't got no kids. I didn't ask him to sponsor my kids. I asked that man to guide me through the 12 steps. And I'm going to tell you why. The ultimate weapon. In 1987, I hit my first treatment spot. Some people know this story. And in the treatment spot on Saturday night was H&I. And here came this brother with a raccoon hat, a sheepskin coat, Lee jeans with the sewn-in seam, shell-top Adidas with the fat laces, dipped when he walked. I wasn't sure if he was Run or D from Run DMC. And if you know my first sponsor, he looks like Daryl from Run DMC. But he had this girl with him. She was like a 15 plus tax. And all I heard him say every week was, if you want what we got, I don't know what else he said. Now I was engaged to the woman that's my wife today of almost 17 years. I was engaged, right? But I heard, if you want what we got. So I didn't know she was a panel member. I thought that was his girl and she was supporting him in his endeavors. But if the truth be told, I was afraid of him. He was like terminally hip, fatally cool. I was 20 years old. I had been using for about 9 years, but I had not really run the streets yet. And I say yet because it took me years to get clean. I was pretty much a using from Wednesday to Friday type of guy, spending my whole check. My wife, my parents, my job thought I needed help. I went there. I tried to get help. I told them, if you grew up in the projects like I did, you'd be an addict. And it was 6 years later, I was in my third treatment facility. I'm in Mattawan, New Jersey. I'm in the back of the room. I'm getting a release for the weekend. I'm going home. I've been stacking money for 33 days. And I'm going home and I've already got the plan laid out. I'm going to go home. I'm going to talk her into giving me the truck. And I'm going to tell her I'm going to a meeting. And I might even make that meeting just so I could say I made it. But I'm getting high and I'll deal with the consequences when I get back. And I'm in that meeting. I'm in the back. I can smell it, taste it, feel it. I'm shitting on myself. I'm got the dry heaves. I'm back on 145th and Broadway. And in the front of the room, here's this brother. He raises his hand. He says, I'm struggling in an area of relationships, but I know through God's sponsorship in the sixth step that I don't have to live like this anymore. And I said, well, that's good for him. But my spirit had become awoken at that moment. I had 37 days clean. And I said, there he is with 6 years clean talking about a struggle and nobody said anything bad to him. They all said, we love you, man. We're going to help you get through this. And I went up to him after the meeting and it was the same exact brother that came into the treatment facility with the raccoon hat and the sheepskin coat. And he had a blue sweatshirt on. He had a pair of Lee jeans and a pair of Tim's. But he had this thing around him. This aura. He had this thing around him. And I really couldn't even see him. I know you don't believe me, but it don't matter. I couldn't even see his face. And I dropped my head. I dropped my head and I said to him, "You think you could help me?" And he hesitated and he said, "I'd be honored to help you." He said, "I would be honored to help you, man. And are you ready to get busy?" I said, "I'm ready to do anything you want." I said, "But we're going to do Who's an Addict, right?" He said, "Nope." I said, "You sponsor Sean?" He did Who's an Addict. He said, "You ain't Sean. What is the NA program? You sponsor Frankie. You ain't Frankie. Why are we here? Boy, if you don't know why you're here by now, ain't nothing in that chapter going to help you." I said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "We're going to work the steps." I said, "Can I get my life together?" He said, "Your track record says you can't." He was like brutally honest with me in this such of a loving and caring way that he just put me at ease with myself. And I said, "Can I get 6 months?" He says, "Not without the steps." He said, "Jimmy, if you go to the doctor and you tell him what your symptoms are, you tell him that you're coughing and you're wheezing and you don't feel good, and he diagnoses your illness and he gives you the antidote to your disease, does he tell you to wait 6 months? Or does he tell you to take the script, go to the pharmacist, get it filled, and start getting better right now?" I said, "The doctor says get better now." He said, "Jimmy, N.A. says get better now. Get better now." And that started my journey to recovery. And I'm not gonna go through my whole story. I'm just going to tell you that I've buried two sisters. I've had my wife with cancer 3 to 5 times. I've had both of my daughters almost die. I lost my job 3 days after I bought my house. I've been talked about in Narcotics Anonymous. I've been accused of sleeping with guys, girls. I've been accused of doing things in Narcotics Anonymous that I don't do. Not that I don't do anymore. I don't do them. If you claim victory over something, you get victory over it. I refuse to stand up here and say that I don't have victory in certain areas of my life, because once I proclaim that I have it and God says I got it, it don't matter what you think. I was 21 days clean. I was in Eatontown, New Jersey at the New Jersey Regional Convention. I had my head down between my legs. I was ashamed of myself. My sponsor and Andre and Elle and Kevin and the whole crew was running around radios. They were the H&H subcommittee. And I was on that H&H subcommittee every year. I would stay clean long enough for them to give me a radio so I could run around the convention all weekend, stay up all weekend and feel a part of something. And this weekend I was in treatment and I couldn't do it. And I remember he's sharing tonight at the counterfeit meeting, Ron H., he came and he sat with me for 5 minutes. He lifted me up. He said, "Why don't you go in there and listen to that speaker?" And I went in the back of the room. And I'm standing on the back wall. And I'm trying not to look anybody in the eye because I hate me. And even if you like me, you can't like me because I hate me. And Brother Jamil, may he rest in peace and may God be pleased with his spirit. He's up there and he's going, "Da-da-da-da! March, the general, march, the general, march, the general, march." And people are going, "Ooh, oh, 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 can you feel God? Oh, my God." And I looked up and I said, someday, I want to touch people like God has allowed Jamil to touch people. And for the first time in a long, long time, I had put myself in a position that I had a goal that I really wanted to achieve. I really wanted to get better, man. I wanted to learn how to help people. I wanted to learn how to be able to not necessarily stand behind the podium, but I wanted to be able to look people in the eye and have confidence in not who you thought I was, but in who I really was, and be able to say to you that I love you, man, and that I need you in my life, and that you can recover, and whatever your dilemma is, that if you don't use, you can get to the other side. For the first time in like 27 years, I had an honest desire to become something. I had a goal to shoot for. Brother Jameel, through God's grace, put me in a position. I was in position to accept God's blessing in my life. He put a mission in my life. He put a purpose in my life. At 21 days clean, God put a purpose in my life. He said, listen, son, I got a great blessing coming for you. I got stuff coming for you, but I need you to become obedient to sponsorship. I need you to become obedient to what I got in store for you, so that when you become obedient, I can use you in a way that you'll never believe. So I don't come to the podium talking about I'm uncomfortable doing this. I'm in my element. God has ordained and anointed my body, mind, and spirit to stand behind the podium in Narcotics Anonymous to let the addict know that you never, 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 never have to use again. And God has saw fit to have me travel all over the country. I've been to other countries. I've been all over the West Coast, to the Midwest, to the Mideast, to the South. I've been all over. Listen, man, I've done banquets in Birmingham, Alabama. One white person there, too. I'm sorry, my wife and myself. 800 members. Here I am, Birmingham, Alabama, carrying the message to a whole bunch of people who have been mistreated by people of my color. But God said, color matters nothing. What matters is the content of your spirit and what you're willing to do for me. I'm talking about becoming obedient to an almighty God that I didn't believe in when I got here. I didn't believe in God when I got here. God was a sore subject for me. I had every reason not to believe in God. Every reason. And at 7 years clean, I'm going to bring you into the here and now, and I'm going to shut down. And at 7 years clean, I got a call from a man in Southern California. He said, hey, listen, I'm the programming chair for Southern Cal. We want to know if you'll come out and be the opening speaker. And at 7 years clean, I was full of self-pride, ego, arrogance. I was the man. I wasn't just a speaker in NA. I was the speaker. See, I have no problem telling you who I am once I realize who I am. And I said, I would be honored to come to Southern California. And that's what I said to the man. And in my head, I said, and straighten all you people who are a little confused about the message out. And I went to Southern California with the observation that I was going to drop it like it was hot. And in the meantime, I was going to make amends to my grandfather. I was born out of wedlock. My mother got pregnant by a man who was married, who the moment my mother got pregnant abandoned him. So my grandfather, I was named. My name, Jimmy T, my name is James Benjamin Corbett, after my grandfather. Okay, my stepfather adopted me. My father adopted me. He's not my stepfather. My father adopted us and changed my name. And in my second treatment facility, my grandfather died, and they wouldn't let me go. And I had major resentments, but it was all right because I didn't need to go, but I didn't know that then. And I figured that I could go out there and drop it on him like it was hot, and I could go see my grandfather and make amends. And I did that. But you got to be in the proper position to get God's blessings. So I thought I was going to share and make amends. But God said, no, son, I got an assignment for you. I need you to be obedient for me. I need you to be obedient. Son, are you willing? Sure, God, I'm willing. All right, son, I need you to be obedient. He said, son, something's going to happen 7 years down the line. Are you going to be okay when it happens? Are you going to be obedient to me when it happens, son? And about 7 weeks ago, my mother called me and told me that my little brother who I used to take with me and leave him with his friends at 9 and 10 years old on the streets in Jersey City. I used to take him and go use for days. And he would go hang out with his friends and he would tell my mom and dad that I wasn't doing that, that he was with his friends. And no, it was all worked out with his friends' moms. And there's a lot of shame and guilt behind, like, the things I violated my brother sexually. There was incest in my story. There's incest in my story. I violated him sexually. There was some unresolved issues. I did a ninth step, but I never felt like the ninth step was successful because I never felt like he was able to understand that I was sincerely sorry from the bottom of my heart. And 8 weeks ago, my mother called me and she said, we haven't seen him in weeks. And I can't bury another baby. I can't do it, Jimmy. I can't bury another baby. I can't bury another baby. Jimmy, what am I going to do? I said, Ma, you're going to pray. And I called my brother and I left him a voicemail. And she called me 3 weeks ago and she said, he's home. And I just need to backtrack. About 2 years ago, when I spoke in California, there was a brother there who had 90 days clean. He was just got out of the penile system. 27 years in the penile system, 7.5 years in solitaire, half hour a day, never any interaction with anybody. He was there when he had 90 days clean when I did the opening meeting. And he didn't use for a period of time. And about 2 years ago, I had gone out back out to California and shared a couple more times. And I got in a relationship with this brother. And he asked me 2 years ago to sponsor him on the West Coast. And about 18 months ago, the brother that invited me to California to share called me and asked me to sponsor him. There's a reason why I'm telling you this. So my mother calls me and she says he's home. And he needs to go to treatment. He's ready. He's ready to get clean, Jimmy. He's ready. She said, but the treatment facility's $11,000 and me and Daddy ain't got it. So I said, well, do you need the money? Do you need the money? She said, we might need the money. I said, you got it. I said, but is he really willing to get better, Ma? Is he willing to get better? She said, I don't know. You got to ask him. So he got on the phone and he sounded like he was strung out. He didn't sound like he was strung out. He was strung out. And I said to him, listen, Ba, I love you. And I can get you any help you need, but you got to make me a promise that you'll go. He said, Jimmy, if you get me the help I need, I'll go. I promise you I'll go. And I made a call to the first guy that asked me to sponsor him. And one of the men he sponsors runs the second largest treatment facility on the West Coast. And in 15 minutes, my phone rang and it was Diablo. And he said, listen, Holmes.
I sponsored two Mexican guys out there.
Black man, white guy. White guy, Mexicans. The disease doesn't discriminate. Why should we? The ultimate weapon.
So he said, Holmes, listen, here's what you got to do.
And I've hanging out with them so much, I could fit right in. I'm even getting ink. It's scary.
He said, give him this number. And have him call me. And my brother called. They set up an appointment. My father drove him 5 hours to California.
And my brother comes from a very sheltered life. He didn't run the streets like I ran the streets. They moved to Arizona. He's in, it's like fairyland out there where he lives. And the spot that he went to is on Crenshaw. My father said, "You sent my baby to the war zone." But he went down and he got a bed and the county's paying for it. And he thought he was going for 30 days and it's 9 months. Oops, my bad. Oops, my bad. And my father dropped him off, and Diablo called me and said, "Jimmy, he's in. He's safe." And I said, "Diablo, thank you, man. Thank you, because I know I can't help him." He said, "Jimmy, I could never repay what you've done for Weto and I. He said, we could never repay what you've done for us out here on the West Coast, Jimmy. He said, you come out here and you just give us all of you. All of you, you just give us all of you. And you never ask us for nothing. We owe you this." And Weto called me about 10 minutes later. He said, "Listen, man," he said, "Joss and Big John got them. Both them jokers are Mexican and they're like 6'6". They're like recovering addicts who used to be lieutenants in the Mexican mafia. My brother's like this big. He's like 5'2". He's like 80 pounds. And he called me last weekend and he said to me, "I'm so sorry that I cursed you out the last time when you came out to bury Kathy." Because he was telling my parents, he was asking me for help, and I was turning my back. And my parents kept saying, "How could you turn your back on your brother?" And I was like, "Mom, not. I got him. I got him. But he's got to come first." And he called me and he told me, "I'm in a good spot now. I'm safe. And I owe you everything." And I says to him, "You owe me nothing, brother. You get clean and you help the next guy." See, I do the things I do not for me. I do them for the glory of my relationship with the God of my life. I mean, I don't typically do this, but a brother came back to the rooms last week or 2 weeks ago, and he came into the meeting. He said, "I need to holler at you." And I knew he was just getting clean again. I was like, "Man, I must have said something a couple years ago. He got a resentment. He went to treatment. He worked on his resentment. He's coming to square me up." He came out of the back meeting. He said, "I need your number. I need to holler at you, dog." So I gave him my number. Saying, "Can he trace that to my house?" I know his story. I've been living it for the years he's been coming around. He said, and he called me the next day. He called me like 5 times at work. So I was like, something's got to be up. So I hit him back from work. I'm like, "Listen, I got 5 minutes. What's up?" He said, "You know what I'm calling for." I'm like, "Damn, I must have really done something." He said, "No, man, no, listen, I need help." He said, "Jimmy, I've been fronting for a lot of years. And I've been watching you, and you've been getting better, and I want to get better." And on Thursday night, I called him, and I said, "Hey, yo, man, I'm going to Ocean City. You want to go?" He said, "I ain't got no money." I said, "I ain't ask you that. I ain't ask you that. I got a brother in my home group, and I'm going to put his name out there, because someday he's going to be the banquet speaker here. His name is Thomas. He smokes pot every Tuesday on the side of the church of my home group. Every Tuesday when I pull up, he comes out of the side of the building. I'm like, "Thomas, was you getting high over there?" Jimmy, your brother got to do what a brother got to do. You got a couple dollars, Jimmy? Say, I'll make you a deal, Thomas. Come to the meeting. You hang out with us. I got a couple dollars for you after the meeting, brother. I got a couple dollars for you. And when this brother's straight, you got to hear him in meetings, man. You got to hear him. He celebrates every other week. Hey, Andre, who's that sound like? That sound like me? I celebrate 90 days every 30 days. I used to smoke crack and celebrate 90 days. People just love me. And when he's on top of his game, he talks about a relationship with God and knowing how great we are and how thankful he is that we welcome into the meetings. And when I do the secretary's commitment to my home group, I go to McDonald's and I buy that brother hamburgers, french fries, and a coffee every Tuesday night. Because when I'm the secretary, and I don't know why it is that God has it this way, but only when I'm the secretary, that brother's there at 6 o'clock to help me set up the meeting. He's there. He knows Jimmy's the secretary. Maybe it's the hamburgers, but whatever keeps bringing him back. Whatever his attraction is to me, I just need to keep being it. I want you to know that the ultimate weapon for another for the addict is another recovering addict. But if you don't have God in your life, there's no way you can be a sufficient messenger in Narcotics Anonymous. If you haven't worked the 12 steps, I don't believe that you can just come here and you can just get the information from just being in the meetings and you can just go over the step, just like maybe read it once or twice, and you can just get some information and like be able to help the addict coming behind you. I believe that if you don't have practical application of working the 12 steps, you're not a sufficient messenger for God. I know what God's will is for me. The 11th step tells me what God's will is for me. I don't know. People come in and talk about, I don't know what God's will is. God's will is for me to be happy, joyous, and free. God's will for me is to come to meetings. Let the addict know that no matter what happens, you don't have to use. God's will for me is to be a good husband, a good father, a good sponsor, a good sponsee, a good member of Narcotics Anonymous. I know what God's purpose is for me. It's to shine. Shine brightly. Camellia says, get your shine on. Go get your shine on. Don't shine less. Shine more. If the joker next to you, if his light bulb is dim, don't shine less. Don't lower yourself to him. Help him get more juice. Tap him or her into the same exact power that you've tapped in. Direct them to a God. Tell them that God is attainable. I know some of you addicts with like 20 years clean are like just writhing in your seat because I'm talking about God. I need to tell you that the G word 92 times in the first 103 pages. We start every meeting with God. We end every meeting with God. God's just two-thirds of the steps. Every meeting is about a relationship with God. He's a preacher. Then that's what I am. Then I'm a preacher. Don't. Preacher is a teacher. Don't hate the player, hate the game. If nobody told you they love you today, you're hanging out with the wrong folks. The ultimate weapon says playmates, play things, and play toys. Sometimes in the 11th step, it says that God will weed out the unhealthy people in our lives. Stop holding on to people that are not spiritually fit to allow you to be spiritually fit because they're blessing blockers. Nobody told you they love you today. I love you. Thanks for letting me share.